Welcome to Let's Talk, a community podcast from the StarQuest Production Network, where we welcome interesting guests to talk about compelling subjects while our audience actively joins the conversation when we can get that part of the show working. This week, we're having a little technical difficulty, so it'll be just the four of us. I'll tell you who's going to be joining me in a bit. But first, in the future, if you'd like to join our live chat room for when we record Let's Talk, please follow SQPN on Twitter at SQPN or on Facebook at sqpn.com/Facebook or visit our website at sqpn.com to join our email list. We're always looking for your input on our future shows, and you can also subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or at sqpn to download the audio of the show. And let me just first start off by saying, if you go to sqpn.com, you're going to notice it's speedy, it's very efficient. Our producer, Inga, and our volunteer listener, Chris Wegman, I'm pronouncing your name right, Chris. Chris is an expert in websites, and he helped us migrate to a new server. It's wicked fast, as we say here in Boston, and it's so much better. And actually, the best part is the feeds for the podcasts that your podcatcher software uses, those are much faster, so that will be much more efficient. But even better is all the spammers that are constantly slamming our site are being cast off into the dark web, where they cannot cause us any more troubles, and our website will continue to run well. So that out of the way, let's talk about what's tonight's topic is. Let's talk summer binge watching. When I was a kid, summertime was a wasteland for TV. Everything was reruns, and your best bet was probably hitting the movie theaters. That's where the only new content was going to be. Well, not anymore. Now we have Netflix, we got Hulu, we've got Amazon Prime, iTunes, TiVo, not to mention Blu-ray box sets of TV seasons. And they let us watch a whole season of shows in a batch if you want to sit down on your couch with a giant box of popcorn and a giant 2-liter bottle. You could probably knock out a whole season of shows in some cases in a whole day if you're really, really a couch potato. Don't do that. And now shows are released a whole season at a time on Amazon and Netflix. A new show will come out, and bam, you've got 8 episodes right there waiting for you. So it's led to this phenomenon of binge watching, where we'll watch episode after episode of a TV show. So our question for our guest tonight is what are you binge watching this summer? But first, let me introduce our guests. First, Stephanie Zimmer from the TV Rewind podcast. She is our TV expert. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hello, hello.
Lisa Henley-Jones is joining us as well. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
And David Handlos. Did I pronounce that right, David, your last name?
You did. Thank you.
Oh, excellent. I'm very sensitive to the way names are pronounced. I have an easy pronounced name, but I'm sensitive for other people. And of course, again, I'm your host, Dom Bettinelli. I think I forgot to mention that at the top, but that's who I am. So, the question is what are you binge watching this summer? What's big? What's hot? I know the first one out of the gate, Stephanie, you're going to say the same thing I would say, the big hot show this summer. What is it?
Stranger Things.
Of course. Who here is watching Stranger Things or has watched it? Lisa, David?
Oh, it's on my to-do list.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll try not to spoil it, but Stephanie, can you give me a brief 1-minute rundown of what Stranger Things is about?
Well, I've heard many people describe it as a mash of The Goonies and X-Files. It's a bit of a kid comedy of these kids that are working together to solve this mystery of their friend who has gone missing, and then there's all these supernatural elements that are coming in, as well as 80s music, and it's awesome and people should watch. It's only 8 episodes, so what are you waiting for?
You know, I would say that it captures like the best of Spielberg's like E.T. or The Goonies, like you said, The Goonies. It's got a little bit of the scary alien genre, a little bit of the mysterious government agency. But also just, you know, I don't think it's just a nostalgia thing. I'm of the age where I was, a kid in the 80s, and watching the show, it takes me back to that time. But I hear from a lot of people that they really enjoy the show just as it is. I think the writing is great, and the character, the actors, the kids playing these different roles are just wonderful child actors. So, yeah, I watched it. I did two episodes a night for a few days and knocked it out. And by the end of it, I was pretty satisfied with that with the series season. Stephanie, did you watch the whole thing?
I did. It took me a couple weeks because I went on a camping trip, so that kind of threw my schedule off. But I did finish it a couple days ago. I just, as a little plug, I did a full season review on my podcast yesterday. So if you've watched the whole thing, check it out. That's the newest episode of TV Rewind.
Excellent. We'll look forward to that. The Stranger Things is some talk of a second season and some other stuff like that. But you know, it's the perfect, again, the perfect that summer binge watching show that comes out of nowhere. So that's a good way to start off our list of shows you might want to binge watch. That's available on Netflix in case folks haven't heard of it, but of course you should have. Lisa, how about you? What are you watching this summer?
Well, about a month ago, I broke some ribs, and so I've been very immobile for all of July. And so I've actually watched a bunch. I don't recommend it to anybody. the breaking of the ribs, not the binge watching. So when y'all asked, I'm like, oh, it's a long list. But my favorites that I've binge watched recently, one of them has to be Broadchurch, which is not necessarily a new show. It came out in 2013. But it's what do you call it? Cop drama. It's British. It stars David Tennant. And I just love the character development. It moves decently slow. It's not like this action-packed, you know, show. But at the end of the episode, you're just dying to know, okay, wait. And the whole season, they take the whole season to who did it. And makes you want to keep watching.
Yeah, Broadchurch was my binge watch from last summer with my wife. And at the end, like you say, at the end of every episode, it was, okay, let's just watch one more. They leave you on a cliffhanger, in maybe one or two cases, very literally. And you're like, okay, we got to find out, like, what happened? you know, one of the things I loved about Broadchurch was that it's one case that takes place over a whole season. It's like CSI, it's like three cases an episode. You have the main case and then the B cases and that sort of thing. And everything's neatly wrapped up in a bow by the end. But this is, like you said, it takes time to develop. It's one of my favorites. And the second season is on my list to watch. Stephanie, have you watched Broadchurch?
I watched the first season. I didn't hear great things about the second season, so I didn't get a chance to get caught up with it. But it's one that I did not binge. I watched it on air on BBC America 1 week at a time, so I really enjoyed it a lot.
How about you, David? Is that one you've seen?
Yeah, that was, and like you said, I like the fact that it's focused on one case because, you know, cases usually take that long sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
and lots of great twists.
David Tennant is just awesome. no matter what he's in.
Well, I love David Tennant's native Scottish accent there. I mean, just when he was in Doctor Who, you hear his British one, but he's got that real Scottish accent come out. And in fact, there's quite a number of, if you're a Doctor Who fan, quite a number of actors that they got for this who were either regulars, like the actor who played Rory, or lots of guests people who were guests on the show. The actress who plays his partner was on actually a couple different episodes of Doctor Who in the newer version.
I remember she was on the first one where the 11th Doctor showed up. She played this mom with kids that this alien imitated. She was very good at being creepy.
Oh, yes. And, you know, since we've all watched it, without spoiling for the listeners, I can understand, not having watched the second season, I can understand why the second season might have a whole different feel to it, given how the first season ends and why it might not be as good.
I did watch the second season. It's worth watching, but it most definitely has a different feel because you can't recreate
And
you know, that one perfect case that they did in the first.
I feel kind of bad that when they tried to make an American version of Broadchurch, it didn't work out, but it just didn't seem right when David Tennant was in both series. It just didn't seem to make sense.
Right. And I gather the American version, the first episode was literally a shot-for-shot remake, just transplanted to California. Really? But then in the second episode and after that, it just diverged into a whole new direction, which I suppose you'd want to do because, you know, audiences now are global. We watch things mm-hmm. from the, you know, BBC, so we know how that's going. So if you made a shot-for-shot remake of the entire season, that might be, you know, people would maybe not stick around because they know what happened. So there's that. But it's interesting to know. I have not watched it, but that's my understanding. So moving on, David, like, what's your first pick for summertime binge watching?
Okay, you guys are gonna laugh because I am a parent of a 5-month-old and a 3-year-old. But one of the shows we've been binge watching since preschool isn't in session for my daughter. We've just watched so many seasons of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. It's crazy. We were completely unaware of it. All of a sudden it disappeared from Netflix and we completely lost our minds for about 30 minutes before we realized it was on Amazon Prime instead. So
see, now that's a good point, David. You know, these shows come and go from the various services based on silly arcane licensing deals that they sign. And you know, what do you do if you're in the middle of binge watching a season or a series and it just disappears? I mean, that, like you said, that must have been, you know, panic inducing. I mean, as a parent mm-hmm. of small children myself, trying to explain to a small child why the licensing deal for Netflix ran out.
Yeah.
It would be difficult.
Yeah, she only gets to watch an episode like in the morning or maybe one in the evening or something like that. But if her routine is disrupted, it's not going to be a fun morning.
So. That's right. You just think that these executives do not have small children. They need to, like, but for the kids shows at least.
I know. But the only thing I've learned about binge watching, if you're going to start binge watching, don't do it near the end of the month.
Yes, that's a very good tip. Start at the beginning of the month when you know that you at least have 30 days that this show is going to be on the service. And in fact, there's actually a number of different sites out there if you want to be up on top of this sort of thing. I know the Verge.com does a monthly post where they list these are all the shows and movies that are going to be leaving Netflix this month and all the new ones that are coming next month. And that usually shows up somewhere around the 20th of the month to give you about 10 days to frantically watch as much of TV as you can to catch up. So that's a good tip. So, and it's Daniel the Tiger. This is good for kids.
Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. Okay. So you said you grew up in the 80s. You remember Fred Rogers, the Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Oh yeah.
Think about this as Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood: The Next Generation, for lack of a better term, because it has, and it almost it. On one hand, it makes me feel good that my daughter's watching it. On the other hand, it makes me feel even older because the main characters are the children of the characters in the Neighborhood of Make Believe, if you remember that. So,
oh wow!
So now Daniel Striped Tiger has a son. Now, XBL is an uncle to a younger version of him. Now, now King Friday has an even younger son. I'm like, wow.
So you mean it's literally the next generation of Mr. Rogers, not just in a type, but it's literally that next the children of. That's
it's literally.
That's pretty awesome. I'll have to check. I mean, for myself, I might want to check it out just because it's a nostalgic trip. But I have a 3-year-old. I bet she'd love it. That's great. All right. That's a good one, David. Well, I'm going to go with my first show that I'm going to pick. And this is also going to be an unusual one. But I found it since I've started watching it that I have a lot of other people are also watchers of the show. And it's HGTV's Fixer Upper.
Oh, I love that.
I love this show. I love Chip and Joanna. I love, you know, cased openings and crown molding everywhere and shiplap, whatever that is. I want it in my house. So the basic premise, this is one of those HGTV reality shows where you know, they take a couple, they're going to buy a house in Waco, Texas. And they're this couple, who are the hosts of the show, they own a business where they do real estate agents, renovate home renovation and interior design. And so they basically take them through, they buy a junky house and fix it up for them on under this budget. And, you know, like most reality shows, there's a bit of a premise to it. And you got to kind of buy the premise. You know that there's stuff going on behind the scenes in order to make the show work. You know, they're not literally deciding, you know, seeing three houses in one day and then deciding to buy one of them that day. I mean, you know this going in. So, but it's fun. And part of it is that it's not just about the house itself. There's this relationship between the couple, the hosts, Chip and Joanna, that it's great. They're a family. You see their kids a lot. They have four kids. You get the sense, it's not in your face, but you get the sense that they're a faith-filled couple. They talk about their church here and there and the people from their church. One of the best parts is I like looking at the house price. I live in the Boston area, and I look at the house prices in Waco, and I'm thinking, I could sell my tiny little ranch house here and buy a mansion in Waco, Texas, and live like a king. I'd have to get a job down there. But just little minor details. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I've always a little bit enjoyed like these renovation shows ever since. Again, back in the 80s, I started watching This Old House on PBS. And this is just sort of that idea of a next generation of that. But it's a lot of fun. Have any of you watched Fixer Upper? Lisa, I think you've said that you've...
I love it. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Waco is not very far from here. And we drove through there, in fact, on the way back from vacation recently. And it was 10 hours in the car that day, and I could not get my husband to stop. I'm like, we have to go to Magnolia and see this, but we didn't. But we've been watching it on regular HGTV. I haven't binge watched it per se, but it's on all the time. And my kids love it. My parents love it. It's just, it's a good feel good show. They don't put in all the drama, you know, the kind of the fake, you know, a lot of the HGTV shows, they like fake drama over how much things cost. It just, I don't know. They seem like good people, and I love that they take the crappiest house a lot of the time, and they, you know, not with a huge budget.
Yeah. And it just, it looks nice. It's, and they, you know, they decorate it up, and it kind of gives you this idea of like, I live I don't live in a terrible house, but I live in a house that could use some work, and these are some easy things I could do to fix it up. You know, Lisa, you mentioned Magnolia. That's actually, they actually have to say it's a shop is sort of an understatement, I guess. They have a place called The Silos, and it has their interior design shop and a bakery and a seed and supply store, all in this one location where people can go, you know, fans of the show, people can go and buy things they see on the show and stuff. So they have their own business on the side. My wife's from Austin, so next time we're down visiting, we're going to take a road trip up the Waco.
Oh yeah.
See, and I'll go hang out with Chip on the farm and go wrestle some cows or something with them.
There we go.
But that was my pick. I think that comes back around to you, Stephanie. What's your next binge watching pick?
Well, I've been time traveling back to 2005, and I've been watching Lost for the first time.
Oh
wow!
Quite interesting.
That's awesome. How far in are you?
I'm just finished the second season.
Oh wow!
And then the Olympics. I've been watching that. I stopped watching everything else.
Well, actually, that's a good point. We can come back to that about binge watching the Olympics. But watching Lost, you know, that's actually an interesting idea. Is when you go back and watch, a show that everybody kind of watched years ago that you missed for whatever reason, and then kind of catching up. Do you have any of it spoiled? Are you, do you know what happens, or are you coming at it all fresh?
I've avoided everything. It's amazing. Wow. I don't know.
That's pretty good.
That's a really impressive.
Good, because, you know, the thing that's inside the hatch. No, just kidding.
I was about to say, season two is really, it's a really good time, too.
Yeah. You know, if you get a chance, and I don't know if they're even still online, I found the podcast by the producers, Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, that they did every week after each episode aired. I found those podcasts to add a lot to the watching the show. Little tidbits here and there to, you know, that you watch out for, or you know, that kind of expand a little bit of what's going on and give you some ideas. I mean, they would always joke about the stuff that they're not telling you. They keep referring to the zombie season that they're going to do and all this other stuff, which of course they never did. But so that's a good one. I like that. I think my wife and I, that was when we were first married, that was our first watch together show. So that might be a fun thing to do, to go back and watch. We'd have all the DVDs, so it'd be fun to go back and watch it. Lisa, sounds like you were a fan of Lost back in the day.
I was. Well, you know, that was one of our first, what I would call binge watching shows, because we didn't watch it the first season. We bought the DVDs after the first season and caught up. And so that was one of the first my husband and I binge watched together. So, and then we started binge watching with the kids, but we didn't make it all the way through with the kids. They lost interest somewhere.
I think season 5, I bet. I kind of envy a little bit those who get to binge watch it, because I remember distinctly watching the first episode as it aired on TV, and getting to the end of that episode and saying to myself, oh my gosh, how long am I going to have to wait to find out what's going on? Because I feel like there's like all these questions, and what the heck was that thing, and what's going on there, and who is this? And I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be forever before I find out what's going on. So there is some benefit to the binge watching like that. David, how about you? Were you a Lost fan back in the day?
I didn't hear about it until I started hearing Cliff Ravenscraft mention on his podcast, and then by the time I started looking into it, I accidentally spoiled myself silly on it. So I ruined myself on it before I even watched a single episode.
So that's a good question, actually. I want to ask is, so if there's a show that you want to watch, but you've heard a big spoiler, even if you've watched, like, say, most of a season or most of the series, and then the big reveal at the end gets spoiled for you, do you lose interest, or do you just power through on it? David, how about you? I mean, is that something that makes you lose interest in a show?
I guess the short answer is it depends. If it's a show that I haven't really watched yet, like I hadn't really jumped into Lost, I'm not going to start off with something I haven't seen yet. But if it's a show I'm really into, say like Flash got a little bit, the end of Flash got spoiled for me a little bit, and then, but I still powered through the last two episodes.
Okay. So. How about you, Lisa, or Stephanie? How about you?
I think it depends on how big the spoiler is and if I'm still going to be invested in the show despite knowing that information. I think that's a big factor in it.
Okay. And Lisa, does spoilers ruin your enjoyment of the show to the point where you can't watch it anymore?
I will say I've had one show that I was spoiled on, a big thing that happened, but it depends on how much you love the show. And in that case, it was Downton Abbey, and I loved the show. So you grin and bear, and you say ugly things about all the people on Twitter who spoiled it for you in Britain, but you still watch it.
Well, and that's the trick these days, where we're watching things out of sequence with everybody else. You know, when something used to air on a particular day and time at night, you know, you watched it, and you knew that if you didn't get a chance to watch it last night, avoid the water cooler. But now a whole season comes out at once, and then somehow there's always somebody who within 12 hours has watched 16 episodes or something. Like, are you time traveling? What are you doing? and so that you it's sort of like a minefield of the internet as you're trying to avoid finding out who Daredevil's enemy is, or whether Frank Underwood gets elected president, or whatever that is. the secret is. So that's a big one today that we deal with. Binge watching and streaming and delay it. What do we call it? The time shifted watching, I think is what we call it. Mm. All right. So who are we up to? Are we Lisa, are we up to your second pick?
I think we are. I'm going to go with just a fluffy choice, no real serious anything. And it's called Velvet. And it's actually out of Spain. And so it has subtitles for those of us whose Spanish is a little not awesome. It's three seasons that are out already, and it's airing currently in Spain. And so Netflix has been picking it up. And it takes place in the early 60s, big fashion house, clothing designer. And it's kind of a romance, early 60s. It's pretty to look at. It's one of those I just like. You know how you just have guilty pleasures?
Yeah, definitely. I think I might have a guilty pleasure or two on this on my list too. It's not in my wheelhouse, but that's the great thing today is that there's so many shows out there. There's something for everybody. I mean, like, including TV shows from Spain. I mean, I just think back when I was a kid. There was four channels and whatever they aired. But now I think I saw something like there's 400 shows in production available for people to watch at any time. Which is kind of crazy. I mean, there's a lot of junk out there. All right. Well, great. Thank you. David, how about you? What's next on your list?
What's next on my list? I'm kind of prepping myself for next year's Mystery Science Theater revival by watching Mystery Science Theater on Hulu.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. So how does that work? I mean, since each one sort of stands alone, you're just watching them through I suppose we should explain to people what Mystery Science Theater is. So can you give me just for someone who, I don't know, who doesn't know, but for someone who might not know, what is Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Well, the gist of it is it's a show dedicated to the love of bad movies, or just guys make it. It's a flimsy excuse for guys making fun of bad movies. There's a guy with two robots that are really puppets that are trapped in a theater that make fun of terrible, awful movies. They're forced to watch them for 10 whole seasons, and it's hilarious.
I watched that with my dad as a kid.
Well, I got to meet two of the cast members last month at Comic-Con. So that's what really sparked this. I got to see the guys who played the Frank and Dr. Forrester, the original two of the first mad scientists, and they're hilarious in person, by the way.
That's great. But, it's like the thing we all used to do as kids. Like, my brother was a master at this. We'd watch a movie and he would just have a running track making fun of whatever was going on screen, and sometimes it's a little infuriating to be honest, but it's it's when it's a bad movie that nobody really cares about the movie itself, it can be a lot of fun. So that's great. Didn't they do a thing? Those guys, they did something called Riff Tracks.
Yep, and I watched those two. That's probably gonna be next on my list because I'm doing this chronologically to answer your question. I'm starting with season one and moving all the way up to 10, and then I own some of the Riff Tracks ones. The guys some of those guys are still doing it. They actually do a live show, and I'm gonna be going to see that on the 18th, where they're going to be showing Mothra and ripping that to shreds.
Oh, wow. So, the Riff Tracks is basically the same premise without the little frame story about it of the guys trapped on the space station with the robots. It's just them sitting down and making fun of a movie that they're watching.
Sorry, Dom.
No, go ahead.
I said they have two different versions. Yeah, they'll have ones where same thing where you pull up the movie and you start watching it and you start hearing these voices where they mock it. It's still hilarious. Or they have a second one where a different version where they don't have the rights for big time movies like one of the Star Wars movies or Roadhouse or something like that. And they'll make a second DVD commentary track. You just play at the same time the movie's going.
Okay, so you're playing it at the sort of like a director's commentary, but you're just playing it on on your phone while you're watching the movie or something.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So
good. All right, that's a good one. I like that. Okay, so I guess that comes back around to me. My next one is an actual show, a drama. Called The Americans, which is originally airs on FX. I'm watching it on Amazon Prime Video right now. I've been watching it actually for a while now. I'm up to, I think I'm beginning of season three. But it's been taking me a long time to move through it. But I've been in the summers when I really get get some episodes in. Now, the premise is it takes place in the early 80s. They are Russian deep cover spies living in America as an American couple, undertaking these dangerous missions. They have two teenage kids who don't know that their parents are spies. And there's all this tension of you know, duty to their homeland, the sort of pressures of trying to, you know, acting like an American, that sort of they're starting to become like an Americans. And then are their kids Americans, or are they just Soviets and don't know it? And all this interesting stuff combined with all the stuff that was going on in the world, the geopolitics of the time. There's the American FBI counterintelligence agent who lives across the street and all this stuff. So lots of really cool drama, lots of period sort of sets and costume. It's an FX series, just to warn you. So it's not a there's a occasionally less than clothed people and some other stuff going on. Nothing, you know, it's not HBO, so it's not to worry about that. But it's you know, it can just be aware of it. It's not for kids. But it's good drama, and it's won a lot of awards. So The Americans is one of my binge watching pleasures this summer. Any of you watch that?
I've seen about a season and a half, perhaps, but I fell off somewhere. Just wasn't that interested in it. But I do want to go back to it. Haven't gotten around to it.
I said no, I haven't. But it sounds like my kind of show, so I'm gonna have to check that out.
There are a few. Times in the first couple seasons, there are a few episodes where it kind of does slow down a bit, and it's easy to lose some interest. There's they put a lot of threads out, and they need to tie them up again at some point to ramp the action up a bit to get a little more interest going. But it's a good series to watch. David, have you seen any of it or heard much about it?
I've heard a lot about it. I've watched, I think, one episode a couple years ago, but then, you know, kids happen, and I'm a fan of Keri Russell, I think.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I was a bit fan Felicity. Of her from previous Felicity. Yeah, not from Felicity. She was in another thing a while back, kids happen, and then I the shows I watch are compressed down to very few now.
Sure. Okay, so that's my second pick. Stephanie, what's your, I think we've got time maybe for one more from each of us. So Stephanie, what's your next pick?
My second pick is on a similar vein with the first pick, is that it's an older series I've been watching for the first time, and that is The West Wing, because back when it was airing, it was not on my radar. I was watching teen soaps on the WB in the 90s, so... Not watching political shows.
Dawson's Creek, you mean?
That's right.
Dawson's Creek. Joey! Oh, sorry. That's back there. but West Wing, great series. I haven't watched it. Have all the DVDs. My wife was a big fan. She watched them all before we got married. So, quick premise, Stephanie. West Wing, it sounds kind of obvious, but the give us a quick rundown of what we'd watch.
Well, it's basically a show about the presidency. Martin Sheen plays the president, President Bartlett, and he's got all of his cabinet members or all his staff members that are notable people you would know from other things. Bradley Whitford, I'm going to blank. Rob Lowe is in there, Alice and Janney, and it goes on and on. You can recognize quite a few people from the cast. But it went on for quite a few seasons, probably seven, I think, and won a lot of awards, very notable characters in there. And I've been watching it because I've been listening to the West Wing Weekly podcast that's hosted by Josh Molina, who's on the show. He's on Scandal, too. And it's a episode-by-episode podcast. So I've been doing it one episode at a time. But I got a little behind, so that's been how I've been doing it.
That's a neat way to watch it is to watch it while hearing the creators talk about the, you know, what was involved or what they were thinking or some of the deeper elements to a particular show as they were making it. You know, in this election year, I think I'm about full of politics in general, but maybe
that's why I'm watching it, because I'd rather watch a really that's good funny. Political show
than yeah. reality TV.
Well, I have a feeling that I'd watch it. And I'm like, why can't Martin Sheen be president? Like, and I would,
pretty much
get a little confused.
Exactly.
My wife asked me if we can write that in. Like, yeah, but I'm not sure if I'm. That's kind of thrown away about there.
So, without getting too much into politics, because that's a minefield is over there. Yes, that's a good pick. A good binge watch pick. Mm-hmm. Lisa, your next pick.
We've been watching Arrow with the family.
Cool.
So my kids are, I have two teenagers and my youngest is 10, and we started it, I think, in the spring sometime. And, they just, of course, there's lots of talk about, how many times can the man take a shirt off and do the salmon ladder, because I have a 14-year-old daughter. But it's a great show to watch as a family, and all of the, I guess I should give you a premise. It's a superhero. Somebody else could probably say it better than me. It's the, I guess he's not a superhero. He's a vigilante. Is that the proper term?
Are you in the season where he's brooding and very upset all the time?
I'm just wait, kidding. Isn't that every season?
that's pretty much every season. So I think he was a rich playboy, sort of the male Paris Hilton, who ends up stranded on a deserted island for
five years.
Because we have to endure 5 years of flashback seasons.
That's right.
Because it's all, something when he was on that island, apparently everything happened to him while he was on that island, and it turned him into a master archer, soldier, vigilante, bringing justice and all kinds of stuff like that when he gets back to civilization. And as I kind of hinted at, this each episode sort of takes place in the present and then has related flashbacks, a la Lost, where we flash back to a relevant something that happened in those missing 5 years.
Right. I will say my son loves it the most. So he's really been the driver of why we keep watching it. But it's very fun to have a show that we can all watch as a family that we enjoy.
Yes. It's not high art, but I enjoy some of the some of the writing, some of the snappy dialogue, some of the Malcolm Merlyn dialogue is kind of fun. There's a few fun bits in there. I'll admit that it's a show I watch in the season. Great, David, your pick.
All right, I will. Arrow was on my list as well, but I'll just second or third that. But it's an awesome show. I would say that something I call it more burst watching because I don't have an hour at a time lately. But I'm trying to catch up on Legends of Tomorrow. Same TV channel, it's a related show. It's kind of it's got some spin-off characters from both the Flash and the Arrow, and has. As a comics fan, it's got a little bit of everything that I like, and including.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. It's the premise of this show. It's a little bit random, but it's a little bit tough to explain in 30 seconds. But a bunch of heroes, heroes and anti-heroes / villains are shoved together to travel through time and try to fight an immortal villain, and that's the entire premise throughout the show. And at the very end of the first season, I won't spoil how it goes for the rest of that, but it goes up at the very end of that season, and his name is Rick Tyler, who, if you're a comics fan of DC Comics, you'll know that that's the name of another DC superhero who I'm a huge fan of, a guy named Hourman, which is a lame name. But it's a very lame name, but it's always been, he's always been a fun comic book character where he takes a pill to increase his strength and his speed, but only lasts for an hour. Again, the name is pretty lame. The name is pretty lame because it just tells you his weakness right there.
So. All right. You know, I have to admit, I started watching Legends of Tomorrow, and I dropped off during the season. I decided that there was a limit to the number of superhero shows I could watch, and and that one wasn't gonna make the cut. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Arrow and Flash and gosh, there might be one or two other ones in there. So, but
Daredevil,
Daredevil, right? Jessica Jones and that sort of stuff. I have to admit, I've also not been a regular comics reader, so that's probably why I'm not. I wasn't as connected to the to that show, but it sounds the ones I watched, there were some really good elements, and so that's good. Also includes that keeps coming up. The actor who played Rory, I was just about trying to look up his actual name. I feel bad.
Yep.
The actor who played Rory on Doctor Who and was also in Broadchurch. So we're bringing it all.
He gets around.
Yes.
And you know what threw me off in season one is that there's another character named Mick Rory, and Rory, the captain, keeps calling him Rory. I'm like, no, you're not Rory. He's Rory.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So I'm going to finish it up. Just throw out my last pick. It's a Netflix series called Chef's Table. Now, if you're hungry, don't watch the show. Or if you're hungry and you can't eat, don't watch the show. It's really kind of interesting. It's each one's a self-contained episode that goes to one of the top chefs in the world. I mean, their restaurants are always like, you know, three Michelin stars or listed by Fodor's as the number one restaurant in Europe, and they go all over the world and all different kinds of chefs, and sort of it delves into who they are and why they do what they do. And you know, I have to be honest, I love cooking, I love food. You just see the video, you'd understand I'm Italian, but I was always kind of like, oh, what's with that frou-frou food that's got foam and smoke on it and coming off it, and he's got weird weird things shoved into the side of the thing, and I always like kind of, but watching this show and talk and seeing them talk about food, I mean I'm still a little skeptical that it's a restaurant I'd want to go to, but it really seems interesting to me, and it really opens up that world of chefs and restaurants and some of the artistry that's involved and a lot of humanity of the people doing it. It's fascinating, and it's a fascinating look into different cultures and stuff. So it's called Chef's Table, and there's two seasons now on Netflix, and I think it's actually been nominated for an Emmy. So it's a pretty good series. So I recommend it. It'd be a good binge watch. So. That seems to be, I think we're kind of running out of our allotted time that we've set aside. Just quickly, is anybody got a show that you're looking forward to that's coming out this fall? Something that you're, whether it's a show coming back or a new show. Stephanie, is there something you're looking forward to this fall?
I have many.
Well, as the podcaster from TV Rewind, yeah.
But I most heartily love the superhero shows. I watch all of them.
Okay.
Looking forward to those coming back on the CW.
Excellent. Lisa, how about you? Is there one show you're looking forward to?
I'm actually looking forward to Blacklist coming back because we binge watched it and we're a season behind. So I need the new season to come out so that Amazon or Netflix, whoever it is, will release last season.
I'm waiting for the next season of Fixer Upper to come out so I can watch season 3 on Netflix. Yes,
right.
I'm with you. Hey, I love Blacklist. James Spader is the best thing about that show. Without James Spader, it wouldn't be the same show. He is fantastic. I love how they write him, his character. So good. That's a good one. David, is this something you're looking forward to this fall?
Luke Cage.
Yes. Have you seen the latest trailer? Just came out.
Luke Cage this morning.
Okay. So Luke Cage, for those who don't know, is another superhero. It's going to be on Netflix. He's in the sort of Daredevil, Jessica Jones universe. And he was actually in the Jessica Jones series. And he's basically an indestructible man. I thought he was maybe the coolest guy in the whole Jessica Jones. You know, apart from Jessica herself, Luke Cage was, there wasn't enough Luke Cage in that series.
No.
But that, so I'm looking forward to it too.
The Cage quotient entirely too low. I'm again, comic book watcher. I own a couple of the old comics way back from the 70s when he wore the disco outfit.
Oh, wow.
Probably shouldn't have admitted that on a podcast. But.
Well, as long as you're not wearing the disco outfit, that's fine.
True.
Well, I'll headband
just doesn't go for me.
Yeah, that's right. So I'll just finish up. What I'm looking forward to is season two of Man in the High Castle. That was a blockbuster coming from Amazon. I'm a little concerned because the showrunner, the guy who created the show, has left. And now they say that it's being kind of run by committee, which is never a good thing. But I'm hopeful that season two will live up to the high standards of season one. It's a great series. If you haven't watched it, try to get it on Amazon Video. It's really, really, really good show. So I think that's all we have time for. I mean, there's probably more that we could talk about, but I think that's a good list for folks. We still got a month or so left of summer. Well, if you're in Texas, you get 3 months of summer left. Mm-hmm. But around here, snow starts flying around September 1st or something. I don't know, but you still get time to binge watch some shows before the new seasons of other stuff starts. As I think Stephanie alluded to, there's also the Olympics to binge watch. That's a whole nother episode of Let's Talk. Maybe we'll talk about that on another episode. But for now, I want to thank our panel for joining me today. Stephanie from the TV Rewind podcast. Thank you, Stephanie.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
And Lisa Jones, thank you for joining us for this episode.
Thanks for having me.
And David Hanlos, thank you for joining us as well and sharing your summer binge-watching picks.
Thanks. It was great.
So links to their projects, their presence online, the various places you can find us, and our show notes with our list of our picks. You can find all that at sqpn.com, where you'll also find a link to download the audio of the show or to subscribe to the podcast. And honestly, since we're not doing this in front of a live audience, everyone listening to this has downloaded the audio of the show, so never mind. But SQPN is also SQPN. I'm going to get that right one of these days, is also where you'll find many other fine shows on a variety of topics and a variety of TV shows like Doctor Who, The Secrets of Doctor Who that Stephanie and I do, together with Father Roderick, Father Corey Stika, and Jimmy Akin. We do Secrets of Star Wars. We do another show called Secrets of TV Movies and Games, because we got to do all the other TV movie and games that are out there. So go to SQPN, find a another show that you'll enjoy. So thanks again for joining us. We hope you'll join us in the conversation again next time on Let's Talk.